Randy. I said, gosh, I hadn't put this suit on in about 3 weeks now. It still fit. I was happy about that. But you know, it's something. I've really missed our Sunday mornings. I miss being here with you. It's just different. The spirit's different than just being at home, obviously, and what have you. But it's really good to be here this morning. And I've kind of wrestled with how to open up and how to do. It's kind of one of those things. This is definitely one of those messages I couldn't really preach from home so good, and I'm glad we're here. Again, I'm glad we're here, but does anybody have anything on their heart this morning? I just kind of want to be open-ended to the Lord. I don't want to hinder anything He might be doing. Does anybody have anything on their heart? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.
You know, we've got an opportunity to do something about that. We've got, and this is what's going on here today. And I think our church ought to step up.
Amen. Amen. I appreciate that. Amen. Amen. Along those same lines, we're looking forward to having Brother Daniel Freed with us on March the 10th through the 13th, and looking forward to having him with us also. Amen. Anybody else this morning? I know it's a strange way to open up, but anybody else? Amen. Amen. Keep little Zeke in our prayers.
Yeah, this month, the 16th of this month, I've been saved 47 years. And I thank the Lord for 47 years.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Just thankful that He's in control.
Amen. 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 Yes. Amen. 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 I appreciate that. I think about those things often. Amen. What we have in a good church is very valuable. It's nothing to take for granted. The fellowship of it and the protection that comes along with it, just the blessings that come along with it, that's nothing to take for granted. Amen. Anybody else this morning?
For His Spirit that's here today.
Amen. Me too. Amen. You know, sometimes when I'm preparing to preach or preparing a message, sometimes I kind of get in my mind, I kind of try to explain this to Brandy. Lord, is this my message or is this Your message? You know, it's kind of like that sometimes. You can start studying and I'll say this. Everything in the Bible is good. It's all good in what He has to teach us, but I believe that there's times that the Lord gives us something, if I understand it or not, if you understand it or not, sometimes, I mean, it's like with me, it's like, Lord, you know, can't we, what about this or what about this? And, you know, the Lord just kind of led here and, you know, and trying to study it out, I'm like, is this me studying this out, or is this where You would have me to be? And the Lord really gave confirmation on this morning, and I don't always know the why. I don't, and it's not really for me or people really to know the why sometimes, but just get to the place where the Lord just would have His way. But if you will, let's turn to Zephaniah chapter number 2. Zephaniah chapter number 2. I just want to look at three verses this morning. And you're looking at a block of time in the nation of Israel. Zephaniah, one of the minor prophets. And there was a lot of crying out against Israel or for Israel on behalf of Israel. We see in the Old Testament a whole lot of that. Concern of the condition of the nation and how they weren't in the right and how the Lord sent different prophets to try to help them get back on track and teach to them and preach to them and cry against them. And, you know, I know I'm not a leader of a nation, but I think about our church. When I see these things, I kind of categorize it or kind of compare it to how I feel about our church or looking after our church, looking after myself and our church. And it's one of those things that when you see a crying out like this, it's the Lord giving opportunity for people to repent, to make things right. He gives time, thankfully, before the judgment is passed. This is a lot to do about judgment this morning. I think judgment really gets a bad reputation when you think about judgment. A lot of times, especially in the New Testament, people say, don't judge, you're not supposed to judge people. The Bible does also teach us to judge ourselves lest we be judged. That means we look at ourselves and we see where we're at. And I'm afraid what we do a lot of times is we look across the aisle or look at other people and say, well, maybe I'm in better condition than they are, or something like that. But we're not supposed to pose ourselves against other people when we judge ourselves. We're supposed to judge ourselves against the Word of God. Now, that's a different thing to judge ourselves besides our fellow brothers and sisters, because we're none perfect. I'm not, you're not, and we know that. But I thank God that He gives us a space. I mean, this morning, I'm just going to go ahead and give you the title. It's Before, just simply, B-E-F-O-R-E, Before. And I think that's where we're at now. We are before judgment. Israel found themselves in this particular place and in time that they were before a judgment to come, and they had some thinking to do, something to deal with. And I thought so long and hard about how I could give an illustration to this, a serious one that I believe a lot of people could probably identify with. And I was hoping Dad would be here this morning, but he went with Mom to check on my grandmother, so be in prayer for them. But thankfully, Dad is doing really well. And just to kind of give an illustration about what he was going through, and many men here in the church had gone through also, and it was a blessing to him and an encouragement to him to be able to talk to people that had gone through this situation. But I see here when his numbers were off and what have you, not trying to get all medical, but he knew something wasn't right, and they went to the doctor, and the doctor did his examination, said, you have cancer. Now, I don't know anybody here that would not be frightened by that, just to know that it's in there, just to know that something's in there that you don't want in there. And then you take it a step further, you can say, you know, sometimes there's different levels. Some are more aggressive, some are less aggressive. I thought a lot about this myself, Brother Nathan. Aggressive or non-aggressive, I don't want either one. I don't want either one in my life. And you think about it, you know, and I remember a time in my life too, I had a sonogram, just a normal sonogram, went in, and the doctor went around there, and he was looking at my liver, all that kind of stuff, and then all of a sudden, I guess he got a little close to where my pancreas is, and he said, we found a spot on your pancreas. That scared me. I was like, oh no, you know, I wasn't expecting that. Brandy, she started Googling it for us and it didn't really tell me right off, but she said, you know, pancreatic cancer, that's serious, very serious. A lot of times it's terminal. The reason I use that or those two things as an example is I just remember during that block of time that I really couldn't think about anything else until that was settled. They said, we want more testing. We want to confirm this. We want to look at it a little bit closer just to see what we're looking at. Thankfully, when we went in for the extra testing, the scan and what have you, it come back and said, there's nothing there. I don't know if that was, if it's just the shadow or what, but you're clear. There's nothing there. I'm like, praise the Lord. You can kind of move on from that. When Dad got his notice, first and foremost, that it was there, he wanted it gone. And after it was dealt with and he got his examination afterwards, they said, by all accounts, it's gone. Well, that's relief. I could see a relief on him. It was just a relief. You see, that's kind of what we're looking at here, but in a spiritual way. You know, I mean, you could get the news that's like, hey, this is in you. It probably won't affect you, but it could. It could spread. I'll give you this. I know I'm giving a lot of medical history this morning, but I'll tell you, my grandfather, he started out with prostate cancer, but you know, it spread, and ultimately, he passed away. I use this. I think cancer can really be used as a good illustration of how sin works in our spiritual life. If it's not dealt with, it will have consequences. You see here, Zephaniah was given this to this time here to cry out against Israel for repentance. And what you'll see is some very interesting things here about how the Lord gave a space of time for people to get things right. It wasn't just, I'm going to judge you, and he immediately judged them. He could have been righteous and just to do so, but he didn't. He gave people a chance. He gave Israel a chance. Time and time again, you see his mercy. I thank God for his mercy on my life, but how he gave them a space of time, a space of time to repent. Let's read and we'll pray this morning. It says here, Zephaniah chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, gather yourselves together, yea, gather together, O nation not desired, before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment, seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be, shall be hid. It may be, ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the message that you've given, Lord. I thank you for this day. Don't always understand God, but we always want to be obedient and give what you give, Lord, not give what I might want to give God, but always be obedient. Lord, I ask for your help this morning. Help me to think clearly. Help me to speak clearly, Lord. Lord, just give to us, myself, Lord, in our church, Lord, give to us what you'd have us to have today. Help us to respond accordingly, Lord. I know your word is what it is. It's there. It's settled, and we can hear it. We can move upon it or choose not to, God, but I believe that you give us time before. Now is that time, the before time, before judgment, to get things right, to do things the right way, Lord. And I just pray and ask that you go with me, Lord, me first. Lord, I have to check on myself first, God, and I just ask that you help me. Lord, I pray that you help my family and my church, God, that you be with us, that you lead us and guide us in these days to come. Lord, help us and keep a hedge around us. Lord, those that attend church, Lord, that those in our community around us, Lord, also that are lost, I pray for them this morning. Help them to find their place, Lord, in the message. God, just be with us here today. I thank you for your spirit and your guidance, Lord, and I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please forgive me. I'm a little nasally this morning, been a little sickly, I guess. I don't know if it's allergies or what, and so I'm just trying to get over that this week. But I want to ask you a question, and before you respond to this, understand what I'm asking. Because you can look at it a couple of different ways. Probably look at it maybe three different ways. But if I was to ask you this morning, are you ready to meet the Lord? Are you ready to meet him? Number one, if you're lost, you're not. I can tell you sincerely, and I don't have to think about it, I know you're not ready. if you're lost. And you know, I've heard people say before, you know, that they're ready to meet the Lord. I didn't ask you if you were saved. I ask, are you ready to meet the Lord? When you're talking about judgment, that's kind of what we're talking about here. You know, a person can be saved but not be ready to meet the Lord. Would you agree with that? Think about that. You know, there's sometimes in my life you go through things and, you know, ups and downs in life, and you're just like, my goodness, all this is going on, and you're trying to work through those things, and it wouldn't feel like it'd be a good time to meet the Lord. But when His time comes, it comes. We don't get to choose that. He does. What we see here, what we're going to see in this scripture, is he gives a space of time. This is that before time. If you can say in your heart, if when I ask you that question, if you could say, or if you said in your heart, you know, preacher, I'm not ready to meet Him. You need to be. You and I need to be ready to meet the Lord as Christians. We need to be living as Christians. I'm not talking about legalism here. I'm against legalism. But God has a way that He wants you and I to live. He knows where our hearts are this morning. I believe that's why He gave this message. It's as much for me as it is for anybody else. You know, if you were to face the Lord this morning with any unforgiven sin, you would have to face Him with it then. Would you want to do that? I wouldn't. I take that serious, Brother Norman. That's a serious thing. We may not be as ready to meet Him as we pretend to be or want to be or think that we are. I think it's like this also. I think sometimes Christians may think they're less susceptible to certain sins or sins than lost people. But I want to tell you, I don't believe that. I think the devil, it kind of goes along with what the message, Brother Tim, the devil, he's going to throw those darts to see what's going to stick. The only difference between a lost person and a saved person is the saved person should know they're going to heaven. That's the difference. They're still faced with the same thing because they're encapsulated in the same flesh. The devil wants to rob you as a Christian, wants to rob you of your spiritual freedom that you have with Him. He wants to rob you of that. If he can keep you bound up in a sin, then he's winning the battle. And guess what? You're not ready to meet the Lord. I want us to take that serious when you look at this morning. This is just how the Lord laid it on my heart. We sang the song this morning, Is It Well With My Soul? And I thought, my goodness, what a perfect song to sing this morning. If you can truly say it is well with your soul and you're ready to meet Him, praise the Lord. That's where we should be. But if we're not, the Lord has given us a space of time to get there. Look what it says here in verse number 1. It says, gather yourselves together. Yea, gather together, O nation not desired. He's talking to Israel. He's calling His people to come together and be together. Now again, I can compare this, and I do compare this, about us gathering together and being in church together. I think that's a very important thing. I believe in the days as it's come, I think people has kind of gotten away from that and kind of just satisfied to watch it on TV or what have you versus being together. It's completely different. I love what we have here together. You know what? I want to say this. Brother Nathan, I'm not going to say it can't happen, but I think there's a much larger opportunity for somebody to be saved if we're in the Lord's house during the message than if somebody's on TV and somebody's at home. I'm not going to say it can't happen, but I think the odds are a lot better if we're here together. It's different when the Spirit's all together. I felt it this morning, and it's just different. The Lord wants His people to be together. You know, He wants us to be right together. That doesn't mean I need to know what your problem is. You don't need to know what my problem is. It's just if we're serving Him together, we've got to be in unity together. That's what He's saying. He wants His nation to be together, the nation of Israel. He wants His church to be together on the same page. He's calling for togetherness, to commune together in unity. I find strength in that. I find strength when I hear your testimonies. When you tell me what the Lord has done for you this week or in recent weeks or in your life, that blesses my heart, and you need to hear what He's done for me. We find that common ground with that. That shows that, hey, God is working in our church and in our lives. That's important. If you can't go back and find a time that God has worked in your life, then something's not right. You can't go out in the world and get what God has done for them. You don't get it there. You get it here in church. You know, I like to watch the little lights go up when I'm preaching. I do say that. But, buddy, I like to see your faces a whole lot better, especially when the Lord's moving. It's completely different. He's trying to get His people together. He's exhorting them to be together. Look at verse number 2. You'll see kind of some things that's laid out here, and He says it before. You can look out and you can see, Zephaniah can look out and he can see, and he's saying, hey, judgment is coming. It's coming. And we look at judgment as a very bad word, but judgment is just knowing the difference between right and wrong. And God is going to pass that judgment. It's not saying, Zephaniah's not saying He's going to pass it. He's not doing anything like that. He's saying that God is going to pass it. He just happens to know what right and wrong is. There's a battle between right and wrong right now. Everything, the world's trying to blur the lines that nothing's wrong anymore. Just include everything. Everything's okay. But that's not what God's Word says. God draws the lines. I don't, you don't. God's Word draws the line. That's where that line is drawn. And Zephaniah cried out against Israel, or to Israel, he's saying, before the decree bring forth, before judgment is made. Can I tell you, if I have anything unconfessed in my life right now, and I face the Lord with it, and I haven't asked for forgiveness now, then I have to look Him eye to eye and ask for forgiveness. You ever think about that? Ever look at it that way? Preacher, this is kind of deep this morning. Well, that's what the Lord laid on my heart. If we think that all Christians are just living the Christian life and living the way they're supposed to be living, we're sadly fooling ourselves. Just because we're here this morning doesn't mean we're living the way we're supposed to be living. It don't. I mess up, you mess up, but do we take it serious enough to do something about it? Because one day, if we're ready or not, we'll be facing Jesus Himself with whatever's there. But what He's saying here is this is the time before this decision is being made, before the decree, the judicial decision is being brought forth, before the day pass as the chaff. Brother Tim really spoke well to this in Sunday school, talking about how days go by so fast. I have so many intentions. There's times that me and Brandy will kind of try to plan out the week. We'll say we need to maybe call this person. We need to do this. We need to have these things laid out this week. And the week will go by so fast that sometimes we didn't get those things done. You think about how fast a year goes. You know, a day anymore, this day's already halfway over. Now, January's been about 50 days, I think. January's been a few days now. But a day goes by so fast that it only takes just a little bit for the devil to put on your mind or the world to put something on your mind, and you get occupied with that and these other things. It's just like the chaff. Chaff, you know what that is? That's like the husk that's on corn. That's the not worth anything part. It's real light. When the wind blows, it just blows away. That's kind of, when you look back on days, if you're a list writer, if you're not careful, you'll look back on your days, you're like, I didn't check any of those things off. I meant to. I wanted to. But I didn't get any of those things checked off. And day after day after day. And then one day, that's the last day. And you're standing before God. I'm standing before God. Facing the judgment. Facing, Jason, this is what I had for you to do. You didn't do this. Have to give account for that. You say, preacher,
Let's just get this out of the way. Preacher, we're not perfect, and we know that, and we're none really ever going to be perfect. But you know what? I don't want to face God with anything that shouldn't be there. Nothing. Especially when I know he's given me time to deal with it now. Before the day passes the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you. Look at verse number 3. I'll be kind of brief. It says here, seek ye the Lord. Seek ye the Lord. Let me look at something, verse 2, real quick, though. I do want to go back by here. You know, I know we don't know the day or the time. Nope, no man knows. Jesus himself doesn't know. Only God the Father knows the day and time that he's going to send Jesus to come get us. We understand that. But with that being said, should the day of the Lord take any of us by surprise? A saved person, a Christian. You say, if we don't know, then yeah, we'll all be surprised. We should not be surprised. We should live our lives in such a manner that we're not surprised. And this is why I say that. 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, but of the times and of the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. We can see what is going on in this day and time, even Paul writing this then, but we can see in this day and time exactly what he's talking about, or a good measure of what he's talking about. It says, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. We don't know the exact time. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon the woman with child, and they shall not escape. Look what it says here in this next verse. But ye brethren, that's talking to God's chosen people. That's talking to saved people. But ye brethren are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. When I put these scriptures together and I was thinking, you know, if I had anything hanging out there that should not be there, if I'm living in a manner that I shouldn't be living in, when I see this verse here, I have no excuse. Because he told me in this verse that it should not overtake you as any surprise, because I told you it's coming. We're talking to believers this morning. God's people. Zephaniah is talking to Israel. We're talking to the church this morning in these verses. That these days should not overtake you. You are all the children of light, the children of the day. We're not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. He's saying, pay attention to these things. Talk to each other about these things. I want you to be ready to go, and I don't know when you're going. I don't know when I'm going. You know, I thought about this as I studied. I was like, you know, this might be a better message for maybe a communion morning Sunday about having our lives in order. But you know what? We might not make it to communion Sunday. I don't know why God does things the way he does, but let me tell you, Jason's been checking up on his heart. I want you to know that. This ain't Brother Tim, me standing up here and pointing fingers out there. I don't know why the Lord does things the way he does sometimes. But we have the opportunity right now to seek his mercy, to seek his grace, and to thank him for what he's done for us already. I'm asking, is there anything in your life that's in there that you don't want in there, that shouldn't be in there? I wouldn't let anything hinder you from getting that right this morning. You know, I know how people are in the mind now too, probably like, well, if I go pray now, then people think I'm into something. Hey, Don't look at it that way. You need the Lord just as much as I do, and I need him just as much as you do. I have to repent every single day. You know that? We all do. There's no shame in asking God for forgiveness. That's the way he has it set up. We can't pretend that sin is okay and we can just kind of let it linger in there, but what you're going to have is it's just going to grow. But I see this, and I'm going to close with this verse here, verse number 3. It says, "Seek ye the Lord." That's a calling to him. Zephaniah is calling his people. He's challenging his people, calling his people to go to the Lord, to repent to the Lord. But I like what he says here, and he says it twice. "All ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment, seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger." Meekness, that means mild temper. You know, I'm afraid in this day and time you don't see a lot of that anymore. People have gotten hardened. People are afraid that if you see a meek personality or something like that, that people might think you're weak or you're easily to be ran over. I look at it differently. Being calloused or being not meek, the opposite would, I guess, maybe be stubborn. I think that's probably more commonplace than meekness. But a lot of times what you see in stubbornness is the flesh. That's what I see. The flesh saying, "You're challenging me, I challenge you back." Stubbornness, that, you see that with pride. You see how that comes and goes and works in the flesh. But you know, somebody who is meek, meek Christians, you know what I see in them? Somebody that says, "You know what, I know my limitations in my flesh, and I don't want my flesh to handle this anyway. But through my meekness, if I give this to the Lord, I know he'll handle it right." It's an amazing thing. How much meekness do you see in this day and time versus stubbornness? Zephaniah is trying to soften the heart of his people. He's trying to explain to his people, look, judgment is coming. This day is coming. The Lord is going to deal with it. If you believe it or not, if you want to say, well, this, well, that, his word is very plain in what he says he's going to do. He's asking his people to soften their hearts, to not have hardened hearts. "Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment," worked his judgment. "Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be that ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger." You know, the word hid, I looked it up, means protected. It reminds me of the Passover. We just recently talked about that. Where the blood was applied, and where the blood was applied, he would pass over. Those people were protected. God looks after his people, but I wanted to be clear on this part too. We all know that Israel is God's chosen people. But he's going to hold them accountable just like he is the rest of the world. He's going to hold them accountable just like you and I. See, he's no respecter of persons. What I'm saying is, I know I love the Lord and I know he loves me. But if Jason steps outside of this, what he has in here, he's going to hold me accountable for that. He's going to do the same with Israel. He's going to do the same with every single one of us. And you know what happens is people, again, they'll say, don't judge, and throw up things and stuff like that. It's not a matter of knowing what a person's problem is or anything like that. I just want you to be ready before his return. I don't want you to face anything you don't have to face. I always look at it like this. I mean, if I warn somebody of something and they don't listen, it hurts. But I'm not held accountable for it. If I don't, I am held accountable. And I just feel that's how the Lord has led this morning. If you will stand with me, we'll stop there. I'll ask the ladies if they will to come. I appreciate your excellent attention this morning.